What is the 1888 message? Is it biblical? Chapter 6. What did Christ accomplish by his sacrifice? Part 2. The New Testament Evidence Introduction. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Christ's messages and miracles demonstrate a universal application of grace to all men. He never asked for a prerequisite condition for his work of healing, raising the dead, or for any gift of his ministry. The Bible evidence. The voice that embraced my beloved son embraced the human race. No tickets or prepayment were required for the 5,000 to have a meal. The talents are given to every man by virtue of Christ's sacrifice. Christ's blood was shed for many for the remission of sins, that is, for all. The Lord's seed is sown everywhere, much of it apparently wasted. 4,000 had a free meal, no repentance, worthiness, or work required. Mary's prodigality with her very precious ointment illustrates the prodigal, universal justification Christ gives to the world, most of which appears to be wasted, as was her perfume. The good news of what Christ has already accomplished for all the world is to be preached to everyone first, then he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved unto eternal life, this present life being the intended prelude to that eternal life. The you, to whom comes good tidings of great joy, is all people, for unto them is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. All flesh shall see the salvation of God accomplished for them in Christ. All who crucified Christ are forgiven before they ask for forgiveness. Every person has life only because he is already redeemed in Christ. By his grace, Christ freely lighteth every man that cometh into the world. As Lamb of God, Christ takes away the sin of the world, not only of those who repent. His work accomplished applies to all people in the world. Christ being made sin for us who knew no sin, as the serpent, and being given for the world, implies a twofold redemption, a this present life for all, and B, for those who believe, this present life becomes eternal life. Christ is already the Savior of the world. As the purchase of his sacrifice, this present life is far more than the physical existence the animals enjoy. It includes all the blessings of the more abundant life that modern baby boomers or Gen Zers enjoy in such generosity from his hand. Do they realize it? Someone must tell them. The Holy Spirit cannot convict the world of sin unless, first of all, the world has been given an atonement in Christ. The same all who have sinned are being justified freely by his grace. Present tense. The same group on account of whose offenses Christ died are given justification on account of his resurrection. That group is all men. The sacrifice was made long before we believed. Thus all are included. The same group, the many, that is, all men who are mortal receive two blessings, A, the grace of God, and B, a gift by grace, which abounds to the same the many, all. That gift is justification, which reverses the condemnation they received in Adam. Receiving this abundance of grace given leads to eternal life, but this present justification of life is given to all men even as Adam gave them condemnation. All men are even now alive from the dead. Many don't know it. Thus, when Christ died, in a certain real sense, all of us died. In an objective sense, the world was reconciled to God in Christ. God could not impute the world's trespasses unto themselves, else they would have died the second death immediately before they could repent. The us accepted in the beloved is the human race. Our Savior is also the Savior of all men, referring to the objective atonement, especially of those that believe, refers to the subjective atonement, that is, the atonement received by faith. Christ abolished the second death for mankind by redeeming and saving the world. But those who rebel against his grace choose to share the second death with Satan and his angels, a totally unnecessary fate save for their persistent unbelief. The condemnation that Christ took from them, they voluntarily take back upon themselves. For all men, Christ has brought life. For those who believe, he has also brought immortality. The grace of God brings salvation to all men, not merely offers it. The death for every man, which Christ tasted, has to be the second death. Thus for all men, he has exhausted the penalty of sin. Those for whom he objectively destroyed, paralyzed, Creek, the devil, are subjectively, experientially, delivered from the fear of death. All have been, all their lifetime, subject to bondage. The human race. The only reason anyone will be lost is his unbelief. The propitiation is not for us only, but also for the sins of the world. Thus any sinner can claim Christ as his advocate, if he will. The voice that effectively delivers God's people from Babylon is the revelation of Christ as the Lamb of God, and tells of his glorious sacrifice. Summary of Part 2. The Bible supports the exaltation of the cross of Christ as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, not merely for those of the saints. It supports the 1888 concepts. Conclusion. Jones and Wegener's idea of Christ having legally, objectively saved the world, dying every man's second death, bearing the iniquity of all sinners, legally justifying all men, is the evangelistic message in Revelation 14. It is the everlasting gospel, because it alone can truly reconcile the alienated heart of sinful man to God and to his holy law. This message was in fact the beginning of the light that is to lighten the earth with glory, and it was in a great degree kept away from our people and from the world by its rejection by the General Conference leadership of that day. We cannot expect the Sunday-keeping evangelicals to tell it to the world for us, for they can't understand it clearly. We must do so ourselves. Has not the time come that the General Conference of today must recover the message in its fullness and restore it to our people and to the world?